Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Writer-director Jerry Spinbridge is this week's visiting critic as he makes himself comfortable here. You'll know he began his writing career across the corridor here, wasn't it, Jerry? RTE's Studio 8, the hallowed room that it is.
Oh, you're talking about the first season of...
Scrap Saturday. What year was that? Yeah.
What
year was it?
1990.
1990 was there. Were there two, three seasons of it?
There were three seasons, but only across 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
Well, but no, three. 90, 91, 92. It's hard
to find out how many episodes there were per season, whether.
I remember what I was paid.
You don't know.
I remember what I was paid, but I can't remember. I can't remember how many. But there were very few.
Well, you can tell us that if you want.
We operated the Basil Fawlty or the Fawlty Towers thing.
Only 12
episodes. If you make few, they won't catch you out, and then you'll be.
and they'll talk about it forever.
Yeah. And here we are already. Even though we've far more important things to talk about.
Oh, absolutely, because
I've brought my work with me.
The visiting critic has to review something that you'd never think of doing yourself. Is that right? Are you not good at craft activities in general?
No. No, and anything to do with clothes is also something.
Oh, really?
I know nothing
about.
Anybody who might be listening now who would know me saying that. Did you tell them what? Have you already said what it is?
No, I haven't actually. Yes,
right,
it's sewing. You went to a sewing class.
I went to a sewing class, yeah.
He's producing already, you know.
Actually, there's the very point. Yes, you're dead. You see, there is the very point is that when I was talking to your researcher, Susan.
Wonderful team.
About what we might do about, because I have to say, I do enjoy the item. I think it's a very clever item and I think it's very good.
Oh,
and very often people are on it because they're people who don't normally review things or don't normally offer their opinions about things. This would not be true of myself. Offering opinions has been my lifeline for many a long year. However, so what I did say, just as a by the way, as a thing, is that I should do something that I know nothing about, and that is what would make me most uncomfortable, to be in a situation where I actually really don't know what the hell this is about at all. And when they came back to me with sewing class, I said, yeah, let's do that. Let's do a sewing class. Why not?
And you have some stitching with you. The sewing class was in Mary Street in Dublin, in the famous Pennies.
In Pennies.
The original Pennies.
In Pennies. There may be a certain irony there of going to Pennies to do a sewing class instead of grabbing some bit of fast fashion and for $2.99 and racing out.
That's right.
However, can I also describe it? The other only mild shock to me was that when I arrived in to meet the people who were doing it, I discovered that it was actually happening in public view.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
In the shop? Is it really?
Yeah. Shoppers
are going by.
The shoppers are going by. There's a very nicely laid out kind of square of tables.
Yeah.
And the, I will say, fantastic Michelle stands in the middle of us all and chats to us and explains the stitches and tell us what to do. So I sat down there with all of this going on all around me.
I believe it's a free class.
It's absolutely free. Yes, can I say top line? I absolutely recommend it to people. In fact, I urge them to go along. And male and female, I was sadly, and perhaps stereotypically, the only man.
The only fella there.
And to be fair to the other eight or so women who were there, not one of them at any point looked at me as though, because they didn't know I was there, in this kind of
reviewing,
function.
Yeah.
They just assumed I was a man in his 60s coming to do some sewing.
There was no judgment.
Sewing, and treated me accordingly.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was absolutely lovely. And Michelle is fantastic. Michelle is one of these women who I would say, I don't know what you would have to do to get her to criticise you in any way. Yeah. I don't know whether, you would have to perform a violent act or what.
Very encouraging, Moonjaw.
Just so completely encouraging and so very, and when I did do something disastrous, I said, oh, that's very interesting. Oh, that's very interesting.
A mistake.
Oh, look at the effect you've had there. Now, Okay, but what if you tried it that way? And I instantly
is this
felt,
hand sewing, by the way, or are you using a machine?
No, hand sewing.
It is hand sewing.
Yeah, because machines are probably that's probably the next level.
It'd be intermediate, maybe, is it?
You're moving on there. Yeah, you're moving on.
Yeah, foundation sewing.
Because you'd have to learn, you know what I mean? And I'm sure I'd have, you know, cut fingers and things like that. If I
give you a machine.
Michelle was fantastic. And so there was that. It was like you were brought back in beautifully into kind of early primary school.
Oh, lovely.
And some lovely teacher was making you feel like you had talent at something, which is very good. It's also a very particular form of sewing that she was, that this is all about. And this, I hope, it should encourage those Gen Zers and things like that. Or, you know, what do I know? What do I know anymore? But it's what do they call it? Anyway, it's stitching you can see. It's not invisible. That's what it's
called. Is it?
It's not invisible mending. It's stitching you can see. So it's all about things on your clothes.
It would be like trim. You could have nice red trim on a
all of that.
Fetching jacket.
Exactly. Or,
you know. Very straight lines. I'm looking at your
floral design. I will hand that over. Oh, can I just say before I do, though, get a load of that.
You have a beautiful sewing kit. That is.
If for no other reason, people should flock to this because they get a free sewing kit.
You get that.
Describe it. You're on radio. Describe
that's
it.
That's beautiful. Just, well, it is like school pencil cases, and it's double sided. You've got all your nice coloured threads on one side. And
loads
you've
of
got
threads.
Things I don't know the names of on the other side, but the thing that pulls.
Now, here's the test for you.
Through.
I want to see if you know as little as I do.
I don't know. I know that thing.
I'm now handing Oliver something.
It's like a plastic thing with a little diamond-shaped wire. I don't know what the name of that is. I don't know what it's called. I hope you do.
But you know what it does?
Does it pull the thread through?
You see, you're ahead of me already.
I'm a complete idiot.
You're well done.
I thought you were going to give it a beautiful word.
It is for threading the needle.
Oh, right.
And this was like... This will show you how little I knew and how excited I am about you having sent me to this. My life is transformed by this tiny, as you say, a red plastic handle with a, how did you describe it, a diamond
shape? It's a diamond shape. A very thin wire. That will literally go through the head of a needle.
If I can just, this is a very...
Jerry
Stenbridge is now
removing
the needle. I can't do that one.
No,
this is great radio, isn't it? This is fantastic radio. You'll love it. But anyway, the needle, so what you do is, there's people all over the country laughing now and they're thinking he never heard of a needle threader.
Two twits in the studio have no clue.
But it is, because it is quite a large thing.
He's doing it now with no glass.
You push it through.
The eye of the needle.
The eye of the needle. It squashes down and pops back up again when it comes on the other side. Is this working for radio? Anyway.
What's the camel through the eye of the needle biblical reference?
Exactly. You have then is a very large piece and then you can pop the thread into that and yank it back.
You're really happy after this class.
Well, I can tell you, over the years, my only sad links with sewing has been, you know, to attempt to put a button back on that is...
This is a life talent I wish I had.
Yeah.
My mother taught me for a while, a couple of years ago, and I've since forgotten. Do you now know how to attach a button back onto a shirt or a jacket?
Yes, in fact...
You do?
This will show you Michelle's work, in which I was encouraged to be imaginative in my choice of threads.
So very, very good. You've even given a nice orange button, some purple thread. That looks very neatly done.
What?
It's very nicely done.
The secret is apparently that you go diagonally across. You don't go side by side, if you know what I mean. Anyway, that's a... the point being that the business of putting on a button was so terrible to me was because I would spend so much time trying to thread the damn needle in the first place. You see, it's like anything in the arts. Once you have the open sesame thing, then it all opens up before you. You can do
the opening line and then the page.
You can do everything. So I now have this little. I mean, of all the goodies that are in this free bag, which you get if you go and do the. Am I doing an ad for pennies?
It's for sewing.
But you get this kit, this fantastic kit,
Is there a thimble? Do they have thimbles anymore? No.
Yes, there is a thimble.
There's a thimble and everything.
There is a thimble.
He's very excited about this. Jerry, your mother was a seamstress.
My mother was a seamstress. And that probably makes me more guilt. That's an unusual form of Irish guilt, maybe, is the idea that she did everything
at home.
I grew up. Well, actually, she made things more than me, but definitely did mended. And the sewing machine was just like, you know, when you're a kid and there's things in the house and you think, because you're a kid, they're in every house. That's what's in every house. You know what I mean? It's a kind of a peculiar item is part of that family history. And so a sewing machine, I assumed that was something everybody had. But being a boy and being, you know, interested in other matters, I just, you know, I barely watched her doing
it. For me.
What?
That wasn't for you.
Well, I don't think it even arose for me. Do you know what I mean?
And this is growing up in Limerick City?
That gets in Limerick City.
Proud Limerick man.
Can I just, you're going to have to talk through this because I'm now about to leave the microphone to demonstrate.
What have you got more sewing to demonstrate? Or what's
this is sort of, it didn't happen in the class, but it was an idea I had as I was so excited was I by that.
Would it you looks like a piece of Velcro? What is
how
this?
How frayed?
A frayed piece of black Velcro. I don't know.
It's not Velcro.
It's kind of a velvety. Oh, it's the seam of something.
It's the bottom of the leg of a pair of corduroy trousers.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. Okay. I can see the end.
These trousers are pre-COVID. And had been tossed aside as of no further use because the legs had and
they were too long out. And they were dragged under the
too
heel
long,
by the looks of it.
That's exactly right. And
up and down the Clontarf seafront.
What I did. You have to know.
Oh my God. And so you now
I'm wearing them.
I thought it was a Padre Pio relic or something. He was handing to me. He's wearing the pants. This is extraordinary. Okay. Now lift up your foot there to have a look at it. And he has repaired the seam of his black corduroy pants. It's a very neat job. Both sides. This is, I think, this is the most successful visiting critic we've ever had. I'm blown away by that. In fact, there should be clapping and cheering for that.
Can I say the pennies?
Clapping and cheering.
The pennies crowd, call the whole school class thing so people can look it up online. Woo! Love it for longer.
Love it for longer, yes. It's all about sustainability and repairing. So those pants that would have ended up in the bin are now now on you.
Yeah.
Your mother would be very
well
proud.
On me is another thing.
They do. Yeah, you look like a proper writer.
Now, here's the thing. My mother, just to link that back, my mother would, of course, have repaired that in a matter of 10 minutes on the machine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And would have done but you did this by hand.
I did it by hand.
How long did it take you?
About 2 hours' work.
It was 2 hours enjoyable work.
Well, I was in the garden in the sunshine last week. Remember the sunshine?
Remember that? Yeah. That's never going to happen again.
Well, no, because you live in here, don't you? You don't.
I live there, in a windowless room.
Up there, the sun comes and goes.
What did your dad do?
What
did your father do?
My father was a coal man.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So two very hardworking people.
Oh, very. Yeah. I mean, it was like, you know, the early 60s, right through the 60s. But, you know, as I was a child, you didn't know the economic circumstances. Everybody in the housing estate, which was a corporation housing estate.
So it's a little out of the
state
city.
State used to build houses.
Have
them for a small rent. And as long as they went out and worked reasonably hard, they could. Do you remember those days? Ha, ha, ha.
Anyway, the Irish dream. I love the cynicism is still in there, man.
Oh, is it? All right. And yet I can be.
Sewing can take you away to America.
And I would just like to point out, this is written here, there's names on the stitches.
He's back to the sewing.
And one is mysterious, because Michelle had names for all these stitches.
Very good.
And do you see what one is called?
No, hang on till I look here. It says back, stem, a stem stitch.
Now I foolish, because...
In your honour.
Well, I foolishly thought that. It turns out no. The reference is to the fact that it's the kind of thing you can make the stem of a flower with or something like that.
Because it's a big bulky one.
See it there? Yep. See the long...
Is that the way it's supposed to... It's the dotted one? It's supposed to be
what?
Nice?
No, that's the back of it, for God's sake. It's the front of it.
So come here, you were one of... there are 5 years or 6 years.
He's desperately trying to get me back. He's desperately trying to get me off.
Don't do interviews, you see.
The point about the... I thought the whole point of this programme... Of this item was for
it's
me
a
to.
Trick. It's a trick to get you to talk about other things. I know. There, I've said
But come here to me. Are you going to tell people how to get to do it?
We are, of course. Yeah, no, don't worry. We circle back to it. You know, a circle kicker in writing?
Oh, very good. That's beautiful. Okay, let's do that. So my dad was a coal man.
Sewing days.
My dad was a coal man. And even for the youngest days, I knew this was a very tough job. There's the other memory of a thing in the house that you assume is in every house, but it doesn't exist. And again, a bit like the needle threader that you knew so much about. Do you remember?
He's now doing sound
radio. Do you remember Swarfiga?
Swarfiga? No, I don't. I don't remember this.
Do you know anything about Swarfiga?
No, I don't.
Swarfiga came in a tin. I wonder, does it still actually exist? And was an incredibly unctuous jelly-like green jelly. I loved it as a child. It smelt of petrol.
Oh, yeah.
And
it had petrol in it.
This is what... Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Because this is what my dad had to use... To wash himself.
To get the coal dust off.
To get the coal dust off at the end.
Now, the nail brush.
Not on your face. Not on the face. Not on the face.
If you'd oily hands, I know the trick of fairy liquid and a spoon of sugar. And you get the oil off your hands.
No, obviously up in the border counties, they had a whole other thing that they did. Whereas down in Limerick, it was
the rationing still going over, throwing sugar into our hands.
And, so there was Swarfiga in the bathroom, and my father, particularly when you think of winter time, you know, he wouldn't be home until, you know, 9 o'clock at night, and just black, because back then coal came in sacks, and the sacks, if it was
Hessian
raining
sacks.
And as you know, it always rains in Limerick, this we know.
Was that true? Yeah.
But you know what I mean, it would seep through the sacks, and it was just
he was covered in coal. Did he have a donkey jacket like Cillian Murphy in the film?
No, I don't remember my father being a donkey jacket man. And I did wonder about Cillian, had he got my father would certainly not have carried coal in the manner that Cillian carried it.
Yeah.
But that's probably a new thing. I would guess.
It's set in the 80s.
I would guess Cillian, you know, sat with coal men
and did his
research.
Yeah. It was six months of it.
So I'm sure he was exactly accurate in the way it was like cradled or something.
Right down to the fold of the
hat. It was over one shoulder.
My
father was always on the back, hanging on to the two bits of the sack and carrying them in.
I
would frequently go with him in the van, particularly on days my mother wanted me out of the house for as long as possible.
There was only one girl in your family among the siblings.
How do you know that?
We just know these things.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Just the one.
And four or five boys you were with?
Five.
Now, she is a literary figure now, isn't she, this woman? Sister of yours.
My sister is a major literary figure.
Now, she's a big reader. She's a muse. She's a big reader.
She's a muse.
But her son...
Yes.
Is a Booker Prize winning author, Paul Lynch.
Paul Lynch. I am, in that context, by the way, in that context, I'm forever grateful that it was my sister's child and not only my brother's child, in which case he might have been called Stembridge, and we wouldn't want that.
You get to pop the secret out every now and again.
Not that, but it means that people don't instantly know that there is actually a more superior literary figure in the family.
But my private uncle.
Yeah, no, my sister and my sister was actually something of an inspiration to me when I was growing up as an older sister, because she loved reading and had lots of books, and I used to sneak into her room occasionally and have a read off the books that I wasn't yet ready to read, if you know what I mean.
Do you remember which ones?
There'd be a lot of the classics, do you know what I mean? Like your Wuthering Heights and your Jane Austens. I love that phrase, your Jane Austens. Jane Austen is what I mean. I mean Jane Austen. I don't mean your Jane Austens. Do you notice GAA people do that all the time? You know, they do, you're this player or you're that player. You mean that player is what you mean. You know, the likes of Oliver Callan.
You would know you're a teacher, given that.
It's a bit of that.
There is the tiniest
sliver of pedantry.
How long did you actually teach for?
Only 4 years.
4 years?
Four years, if it can be called teaching. In Dublin, in Mount Temple, another famous... I always seem to find myself linked to fame in many ways.
Yes, an email in from David.
Can
you please say hello to my former history teacher, Mr. Stembridge? And Jerry was the only teacher in Mount Temple who had two briefcases, Marks and Spencer carrier bags, carried on each of his Honda 50 motorbike to help him balance. David is actually on the line. David?
Oh God, who is it? David who? Should I put on headphones?
Yes, you need to put on headphones. Good man, Jerry. David, who he's wondering, David.
Good morning, Oliver, and good morning, Mr. Stembridge, a.k.a. Jerry. Jerry, David, my name is David McIntyre Barn. You might have remembered me as David Barn. My brother Ken was also a pupil at Mount Temple.
Oh, the name rings a vague bell. Go on. I assume you're only on the line because you have some embarrassing story to tell. Is that right?
To be fair, I got a great smile when I heard that Jerry was going to be on your programme this morning, as any time he has before, because he was a total inspiration as a teacher. His teaching style was absolutely fantastic. One of the things that I will share with you, Jerry, which might give you a chuckle, is when it came to class quizzes. And obviously, Jerry had a contact in Cadbury's because he used to make his way into Cadbury's staff shop. And you know, the little bags he used to get maybe four or five chocolates when they made them with decent fillings years ago. Well, anyway, Jerry would throw a question out to the class, like, when did the Vikings come to Ireland? If you got it right, he would then fire a chocolate down the classroom at you. Mrs. Prandy's class is actually the one that, but as I say, yeah, I just absolutely loved it. I would say the trousers, Jerry, that you're referring to, probably a good chance you might have had them.
That's it. I think that's the most accurate thing you've said so far. Absolutely. That's right. Do you remember them? Black corduroy? They were quite fitting. This is lovely. Lovely to hear my memory. My memory of it is slightly different, actually, is that when I asked a question and got the right answer, I then ate the chocolate. Would that not be...
Well, do you know what? As I say, it was a few years ago, as you know yourself. You know, it's a class of 84, I think, I came out on. So, yeah, that is actually... You probably teased us by eating them. Jerry, thank you.
Class of 84.
And can I also say, David, I'm glad that your education has meant that you can now lounge at home listening to the radio. whatever we did for you, it has allowed that to happen. And congratulations.
Well, thank you. What I would say is, Jerry, thankfully it is. I'm one of the folks who are lucky to get the old Good Friday off, so I will not complain. Yes,
and are you still on the north side?
Oh yeah, I am indeed. So as I say, still around. I work on the south side, but they left me back at night time.
I understand.
You're not a teacher, are you?
No, I'm not. I actually work. I'm a consular and passport officer with the Australian Embassy on Stephen's Green.
Fantastic!
So he did very well.
Hello to my colleagues there. If anyone's listening there this morning, and. Just like to say, if I could, Jerry, you weren't the only star who came out of Mount Temple.
Oh, far from it.
There were many. In fact, David, a happy Easter to you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Lovely to hear.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Scrap Saturday chats after this. You know, we have to talk.
And I'm saying no more about that.
Yeah, it's a big long chat during the break there. None of it broadcastable.
None of it.
Scrap Saturday, as you said at the start, 1993, short seasons. Charlie High is the most memorable thing, isn't it, about that? Because you can listen in, you almost don't need context. I loved when you used to bring Charlie with his imagined relatives from all around Asia.
Everybody loved
Asia.
That. Everybody loved that. That was a particular... talent of Dermot's, actually. Dermot wrote all of those.
He had the flow.
I can claim no part in them other than enjoying them. And it was, you know, it came from a very simple, you know this from your work, a very simple thing arises, something that a politician says not realising the consequences, or maybe enjoying the consequences. but Charlie made a couple of different speeches, or more than a couple in different places, in which he alluded to as politicians did then, his links to wherever it might be, Derry, Mayo.
This is PJ and CJ on his European, of course, background.
Okay. No, I'm only saying you'll always have the knockers and the big grudges, but we're above that. A European. Just imagine a Joey's boy hobnobbing with the best of them around the Seven Hills of Rome.
And why not? After all, many of my people are of Italian extraction. It's not perhaps widely known that one of my ancestors was, in fact, Julius Caesar. And Garibaldi was a distant relative on my mother's side. I am 17th in line to the Doge of Venice. And my great-great-granduncle was a Medici. Hence my great interest and patronage of the arts. I myself have a very fine collection of paintings and sculptures of myself. Many's the night as a young fella I would bang out a tarantella on the old mandolin with relatives in Lombardy and Tuscany, and Dean Martin was my best man. Aldo Haughey lived in Taormina, where he was a credit enforcer for a local firm, and I also have a couple of cousins who run an insurance business in Palermo. Great sportsmen, their reputations as marksmen with the Lupara, the local favoured shotgun, being near legendary, though Carlo, the elder lad, had a preference for cheese wire. So as anyone who knows me will confirm, Sicilian blood is very much in my veins. Europe, my Europe, this is Kahalo Yoki for 88FM.
I'm watching here, and I can see the younger Oliver at home.
Yeah.
Was it a farm? I can't remember.
It was.
Saying, yep. I'm going to grow up and be that. I'm going to grow up and be that person. And whoever it is doing that, that's what I'm going to do with my life. And so it has come to pass. And so the satire fairy has landed on you and sprinkled good things. It was the range of cultural references that Dermot gathered for that.
You know, Dean Martin is my best man.
What?
Dean Martin.
Yeah,
was my best
you know, and the double entendres, and particularly in that one, playing with that whole. This is great analysis, isn't it? But playing with that whole underlying notion of Haughey as a dangerous man. You know what I mean? And as a man who you would not cross. Yeah, the whole thing. But never referred to directly in sort of thing. It was just beautifully. They were beautifully done and hugely popular. But as I said, you know, they arose like Haughey didn't make it up. Haughey gave him the opportunity by claiming to be from, you know, four different places
constantly
in Ireland.
Yeah, that's right. Who did you play? The Limerick DJ?
DJ. Oh, yeah.
Did that upset people in Limerick?
Of course it did. I mean, it's like, I don't know, sort of, because Limerick people are so funny and so dangerous. I mean, when you think of, when you think of Limerick people in the Dáil over the years, Michael Noonan, very funny man, could be very cutting and very
millions
funny.
And billions.
But yet when, you know, for some reason or other, when a few laughs are pointed in their direction, they immediately go, "We can't say that. You can't say that about
yes,
us. We can't say that about Limerick people."
This is Jerry Sembert, the Limerick DJ.
Treaty 300, what does that mean to you? It means Limerick's on the march. We're driving into the 90s with a new look and a new vice. Limerick's not going to lie down and take it anymore. It's 300 years since the treaty was signed and we're going to let the world know about it. These are exciting times for Limerick folk. Remember how 300 years ago, the women of Limerick came out there with their pots and pans and fought, fought, fought. Well, let's see you do the same today, ladies. Don't let the young fellas have all the fun. We want to see blood on the streets, okay? Confraternity men, sing out loud those great Limerick songs. God of mercy and compassion, we stand for God. Faith of our fathers and Limerick, you're a lady.
It gets madder from there, basically. That's that they upset you. Jerry, stay where you are. We have to take a break, but stay right there. You like this message, Jerry. Delighted to hear you've Jerry Sembert on today. 25 years ago, he made a film in our village, Kilmessan, County Meath, Bad Day at Black Rock. Interesting theme, looking at new arrivals in the village, which has become a real issue now. And this is...
As it happens.
Yeah. What are you doing at the IFI?
IFI at Home is the Irish Film Institute's rental. You can rent films and you can put it. And they have only in the last 2 weeks put Black Day at Black Rock on their list.
25 years on.
Yeah, you can go online, rent it, view it. It's an hour long and it's a day in the life of a small Irish town that hears that a busload of immigrants are going to be brought to the town.
Very timely.
And at the time, people said, as people tend to say often about satire, that's over the top. That kind of stuff doesn't happen. Oh, that doesn't. And then...
You'd never... It was unimaginable that busloads of years later, immigrants would be arriving in small places. That's from John Donoghue in Kilmessan, in County Meath, where you made that.
Thank you, John.
So it's the IFI streaming service, IFI at home.
IFI streaming service, IFI at home. And follow the links to ignore all the other films, obviously.
Just watch Jerry's one.
Black Day at Black Rock.
Are you going to do another novel?
You never know what you're going to do.
Oh,
but
okay.
I would doubt. Why? Why write in a form where you have a mysterious nephew who's doing much better than you are at the same kind of thing? And you see, you know,
just design the cover similarly, and you might be accidentally.
He doesn't write screenplays or plays.
Jerry Stembridge Lynch. Yeah, yes, it's going to be in there. Jerry Stembridge Lynch, you know, when you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, you'll have to come in and talk to us about all the things we missed today.
Less likely.
But in the meantime, happy Easter to you and your family.
Happy Easter to you,
and happy sewing.
And congratulations on all of your shows, all of your many shows.
Oh no, I'll be in trouble.